welcome to the Fresh Heart Project. I'm Zareen, a consultant cardiologist and your host. Today, we're delighted to welcome Mohsin Mirza. Mohsin retired 4 years ago after working as a high-level IT manager in charge of global teams within the energy industry. In April 2019, while enjoying some gardening, Mohsin had a heart attack. Mohsin was found to have severe narrowings in 3 of the main blood vessels that supply the muscle of the heart, and this required a coronary artery bypass operation. After recovering from the operation, he became an active member of the charity Action for Happiness. He leads courses on this very topic. Mohsin is now passionate about creating happy and supportive communities and harnessing the power of lifestyle changes to prevent and reverse chronic illnesses. If you or any family member is going through a similar journey, this is the episode for you. Mohsin, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome you onto the show. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Zareen. It's a pleasure to be here and really looking forward to the discussion today. As you said, I'm really passionate about promoting lifestyle medicine, supportive communities, happiness, and I'm also working on climate change.
Amazing. Well, we'll definitely get on to all that. But let's start by taking you back to your working years. Now, you worked for many years as a high-level IT manager. What was that like?
So for 25 odd years, I worked in large organizations managing an IT team, and we were supporting and introducing systems globally. So at one stage, I had a team distributed between London, Houston, and Singapore. It was exciting. I had a very good environment to work with, excellent colleagues, a good team, but it was also very stressful. It was long hours because we were distributed globally, and it was highly demanding. And I think the stress really got to me at times, and the effect at times was that I wasn't getting enough sleep. I think that was one of the big side effects of working in a global organization.
It's so easy just to keep going, isn't there? Sometimes because it's expected, and not just externally, it's because internally that's what we expect of ourselves as well. Did you actually realize that you were getting that stressed?
So I think I have, good resilience. I can cope with this stress for a short period of time. But in the long run, I didn't realize the effect this stress was having on me. I didn't see it as a problem because I couldn't see the short-term effects of the stress, like, behavior change or anything, like, or becoming irritable, because I had to deal with that with some of my colleagues and people working in my team who experienced the stress. And we had in the organization, we had people to deal with the stress. But I didn't recognize that I was experiencing a stress as well.
Then it was actually when you were gardening that things, your life took a different turn. Tell us about the day of the heart attack.
I was just recovering from a nasty cold, which had knocked me out for about a week. And this was the first day I started gardening again. And it was a beautiful day in April. And the sun was out, and I was digging out a nasty plant, with deep roots. So it required a bit more exertion than maybe I was prepared for. And then I suddenly had started getting chest pain, middle of my chest. And pretty soon I started sweating. So I left the gardening and I lied down, and I started sweating, and it continued for maybe 4 or 5 minutes. And I thought, this does not look right. So I took a couple of aspirins, and it was gone. And it took very little time for the pain practically to disappear. And then I fell asleep and I was very tired and slept, I think, for a couple of hours. So more than anything else, after that, I felt a bit, worn out and apprehensive about what was happening, because I think I realized it was a heart attack. So it was an exciting event.
Mohsen then went to his GP the following day. He had a variety of investigations, including blood tests, ECGs, which are tracings of the heart, and heart scans. The chest pain that Mohsen had was in fact a heart attack. Now, if you have similar symptoms of chest pain, please do not wait to seek help. Call for help immediately. Mohsen underwent a coronary angiogram. This is a test which examines the main blood vessels of the heart, and he was found to have severe narrowings in three of the main blood vessels. He needed a coronary artery bypass operation. This operation involves using blood vessels from the leg, the arm, or the chest to bypass the narrowings. Mohsen tells us how he felt when he discovered he needed this operation.
But that was a shock. I mean, I thought I would have, blocked arteries and all that. But I didn't think that the extent of blockage was so severe. Till my heart attack, I never had any chest pain. I was completely normal. I was playing tennis regularly and going to the gym almost every day. And I would raise my heart rate to about 120 to 130. And I would continue exercising for 10, 15 minutes on elliptical. And I was doing that before the heart attack quite regularly. So it was a big shock.
So after the surgery, what was the recovery like?
Well, it was painful. It was painful in a sense that, I couldn't move. I couldn't coughing. Coughing was one of the worst things. But the interesting thing was that it was not as bad as I had expected. And I was really surprised, after the first day in ICU. I think I was in ICU for 2 days, the day of the surgery and 1 day after. The biggest effect on me, I was in hospital and I had all this choice of foods and all that, and I like food. But I didn't enjoy any of the foods. I didn't have any taste for food. That was a shock to me. The other thing was, I was told, I think 2 days after the surgery, I was told to get up and start walking, and I found that really encouraging. And I had really lovely people around me at the hospital, and my wife was there, and I had support from others as well. So that encouraged me. I found that I couldn't focus on anything for any length of time because I had prepared to listen a lot of podcasts and downloaded a whole bunch of books on my phone and all that. I couldn't do that. Somehow I couldn't focus. But that lasted only for a few days. So on the whole, I would say it's much better than one could imagine. As the days went by, I still found moving very difficult. I still found, getting up really difficult. Emotional side of it, I think I was in quite a good place. I felt that, I had made all the right decisions. I had, my wife was really supportive, and my friends were very supportive. So emotionally, I felt quite all right. It's the physical bit that I had difficulty with. I'm not a very patient person in terms of waiting for gradual recovery. So I felt a bit exasperated that I couldn't get up and do things.
Did you go to cardiac rehabilitation?
Yes, I did, and I found it really, really useful, especially meeting people there who were in similar position to myself. And the fact that, you have to start exerting yourself, the card rehabilitation, there was something like 20 exercises, and they only give you a break once in between. At least that's the process that I had. So it was really good that they're pushing you. I mean, they monitor your pulse rate and that you're not damaging yourself in any way. But I found that extremely encouraging that, I can start doing things, and pretty soon once the wounds and healed, maybe 6 months, I think I was told after that I could start, going back to some form of normal physical activity.
That moves me on to my next point, and that is about Action for Happiness. Now, you got involved in Action for Happiness, and I've done a little bit of research on them, and I was amazed. They've got a course that you got involved in, the 10 Keys to a Happier Life, and this course has actually been studied by academics at Oxford University at the London School of Economics. They've done a randomized controlled trial, which is a very rigorous trial, and found that it boosts well-being. And even for people who are quite skeptical, they go and it helps. And in an interview, you said that on a 10-point scale, your happiness went from 5 to 8 or even 9 with this course, where even 1 point gives you more happiness than finding a partner or finding a new job, and yours went up by 3 or 4. Tell us about the impact of this course on your life.
So it's more than just a course. I got involved. I learned about Action for Happiness about 10 years ago, and I had been studying the 10 Keys to Happiness for a long time. So I co-led the course 3 years ago, or 2 or 3 years ago. So the way the courses are organized is that you have to get agreement from Action for Happiness that you're happy to lead the course, and they interview you for your suitability, and you need to find a partner, a co-leader for the course. So the whole process is quite involved, and then they advertise it for you, and you advertise it wherever you can. So I did that locally, and we ended up with something like, I think 15 people or 16 people registering for the course. It's an 8-week course, and each session lasts about 2 hours. And I've been involved in, people who have led those courses or attended those courses ever since, because we've got a local group, Action for Happiness group, and we meet once a month. One of the things I think it had bigger impact on me as compared to other people is that I've been used to setting goals and following goals, because I used to do that for my team at work. I've done that for, I don't know, 20 odd years. And a long time ago, I adopted this goal setting for myself. And I do them every year, and I follow them every year. And big part of my, setting goals were based on 10 keys of happiness. I think just having the knowledge is useful, it's important, it's interesting. But where you see the real benefits if you actually implement that knowledge in your life. So that's what I had done, and I had some additional goals as well. So like I was involved in community, I had good social connections. That's an important part of being happy. I was helping out other people. I was involved in voluntary activities. I was exercising regularly. So all the 10 keys that Action for Happiness recommended, I started putting them as part of my daily routine. And I did quite a lot of research on how can you implement changes in your lifestyle. Changes are difficult. 50% of the things that we do are based on habits, what we eat, the clothes we wear, the routes that we follow to from A to B. Our brains tries to minimize the amount of effort in doing things. So that's why they say 40 to 50% of the things that we do, they have been streamlined and they've become habits. So what you have to do to change your lifestyle based on what Action for Happiness or positive psychology or lifestyle medicine is saying, you have to change a lot of those habits. So basically, that's what I tried to do. And there is an approach called tiny habits. I adopted that as part of my daily routine. So that's why I feel that I Action for Happiness or the keys to happiness had bigger impact on my life than maybe some other people.
That's very powerful. And you mentioned your wife was very supportive earlier. How key was she into helping implement the changes and maybe sort of redirect some of the habits after your operation?
So one of the big areas that I changed was my diet after my surgery, even before then, to be honest. So I adopted a plant-based diet, and my wife is again, we have the same diet. And it would have been really difficult if I was trying to do it on my own, but because my wife was keen about it as well, it became that much easier. Also, like building a supportive community is extremely important. So 3 years ago, when we moved here, we started basically trying to build a community around us and connecting with our neighbors. I basically started on knocking people's doors, and my wife helped me with that. We're planning to meet on Sunday in 3 weeks' time, and also one of our other neighbors. So my wife and another neighbor, three of us, started basically this neighborhood get together. And when the weather was good, we were meeting about once a month. Everybody would bring some food, and we would just sit outside in the communal grounds, and we would just spend 4 or 5 hours, talking to each other. Exercise was another area. My wife and I, we would exercise every day, and that has been extremely helpful because, like some days you don't feel like, regardless of whether it is part of your routine and it's become a habit or not. Some days you just don't feel like doing anything. You just want to be a zombie. And because we encourage each other, it is much easier to do exercise every day. If I was doing it on my own, I know I won't be, as regular with exercising as this. So diet, socializing, exercising, and meditation. After exercise, we meditate almost every day, only for 10-15 minutes. So because we have all these things in common, we help each other to do them every day. I'm 100% sure that if I was trying to do it on my own and my wife was not supporting me, I will not be in such a good position now.
And it's so powerful, isn't it, having someone with you, alongside you, going through those lifestyle changes with you and adopting the same lifestyles, because it's beneficial for you, yes, but it's also beneficial for that person. It's also beneficial for your wife. And, doing things together can be really powerful. And you also hit on the power of connection, because as humans, we're neurobiologically hardwired to connect. It's so key for our underlying well-being. And you've really taken that whole concept and embraced it and brought it to your own neighborhood and your community. I think that's absolutely wonderful, because it's a time right now when life is becoming a lot more fragmented and compartmentalized. We're not seeing our neighbors as much, and there is that hesitation to go knocking on a door because you don't know if someone will be busy or if they'll how they'll take it. I'm so impressed that you just went and knocked on your neighbor's doors, and you're still sort of you still have those bonds. What gave you that idea in the first place, and how did your neighbors were they receptive straight away? How long did it take you to build that community that's ongoing?
So I was really lucky that we've got another person amongst our neighbors, immediate neighbors, who is just as committed and maybe just as crazy as I am about connecting people together. So between him and I, we started a WhatsApp group as well. So initially it was just getting people together, and he was really helpful in getting that going. And then he was really helpful with the WhatsApp group. But I would say it took at least 3 or 4 get-togethers where we had to really push people before it became a second nature to talk to each other. So compared to before, we had people in our neighborhood who had lived in this area for 30-odd years, but they just saw each other and might say hello and sometimes just avoid, because, you know, if you don't know the person, you don't know what to say to them. Even if you see them, bump into them outside, you want to avoid interaction, awkward interaction. But after we started these get-togethers, you know, we've turned the neighbors into friends, really. I think that's transformation that has become really apparent now. This building of the community has been, you know, a major factor in improving our quality of life. Also, I have started now online discussion group on how to be happy. And I've got 2 groups going, and each one of them attracts about 10, 12 people. And I'm hoping that we will be able to build on that and expand it. So I'm trying to train the trainers so that other people will start other groups in different areas. And I'll give them all the material. There's so much research on how can we improve our happiness and quality of life. And I'm combining in that, not only to be happy, but how to improve our lifestyle to, you know, avoid chronic illnesses.
Mo, what did you wish you had known just before you had your heart attack?
And one of the biggest thing I would suggest to myself before heart attack is not to take life so seriously, not to take myself so seriously. I think that's one of the biggest advice I would give myself.
Now, Mo, tell us, what exciting things lie ahead for you now?
So I'm really excited about this Happy Cafe that I have started. And it's really just about learning what are routine practices that have positive impact on our mental well-being and physical well-being. Promoting those, connecting with lovely people. And so I feel that I'm not only helping other people, but the person that I'm helping most is myself. And that really excites me. I am happy to share what I've gone through. And if anybody benefits from it, that's great.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you so much for joining us. We're so grateful to Mohsen for being incredibly generous with his story. If someone you know could find it helpful, please do share. You can check out all the other episodes on our website, freshheartproject.com. We would be so grateful if you could comment, subscribe, and give this a 5-star rating. This helps us get the Fresh Heart message to more people. The content of this episode is not a substitute for medical advice from your healthcare professional. Remember, be kind to yourself, and small, sustainable steps create great change.
This podcast is produced by Lion Mountain Entertainment, a subsidiary of Morgan Archway Limited.